produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and I look forward to sharing a very, very vital message with everyone on this edition of our program. You know, Aristotle made a rather interesting statement when he said that happiness is the meaning and purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. Now, obviously, we all pursue the desire to be happy. And in a 1986 General Conference message by an elder, Jack Goslin, he said, quote, "Last summer I saw an interesting picture as I followed a car on the freeway. It was a large station wagon that had obviously endured many road skirmishes. The top rack was loaded with luggage. The seats were loaded with people. Four bare feet hung out the rear window, and elbows and arms hung out the side of the windows. In the front seat, the mother was wrestling with a feisty child while simultaneously trying to calm an upset infant. The father was desperately trying to negotiate the heavy traffic. It was obviously vacation time for this family. As I surveyed the situation with some degree of empathy, I noticed a bumper sticker which read, quote, 'Are we having fun yet?'" He goes on to say, "I laugh about this scene whenever I recall it. I believe it is amusing because it exhibits a wry insight into human nature. It reveals a very real aspect of the human condition, the largely unfulfilled pursuit of happiness. The implications of the question, 'Are we having fun yet?' are profound. How many people in this world pursue happiness but find that it eludes them? They contrive pleasures, invent amusements, and invest heavily in recreation. They go abroad in search of this rare gift, but fail to see that evidence of it all around them. The source is within them." He goes on to say, "As I have occasion to be with wonderful people throughout the world, I am often moved by the many individuals I meet who are looking for happiness, but not quite finding it. They yearn and strive and endure, but seem to be asking, 'Am I happy yet?' I desire to assure you that happiness is real. It can be experienced here, and we can know a fullness of joy in the hereafter." Close quote. So in this edition of Power Up Your Family, I would like to share a message entitled 15 Fundamentals for Finding Felicity, or 15 keys to happiness. Now you might ask, what is this word felicity? Well, felicity comes from the Latin root word felix, which is an adjective meaning happy or fruitful, and is the root of our English word felicity. By the way, it dates back to the 14th century and refers to the state of being happy or to something that makes people happy. Going back in time a little bit, in the 1599 edition of the Geneva Bible, we read in Psalms 112, verse 1, quote, "He praiseth the felicity of them that fear God." So number one, faith in God and his son. Elder Richard G. Scott, a former member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, shared the following message, quote, "When faith is properly understood and used, it has dramatically far-reaching efforts. Such faith can transform an individual's life from maudlin, common everyday activities to a symphony of joy and happiness. The exercise of faith is vital to Father in Heaven's plan of happiness. The true faith, faith unto salvation, is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in his doctrines and teachings, faith in the prophetic guidance of the Lord's anointed, faith in the capacity to discover hidden characteristics and traits that can transform life. Truly, faith in the Savior is a principle of action and power. A current apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Elder David A. Bednar, has said, quote, "As we appropriately seek for and receive the spiritual gift of faith in the Redeemer, we then turn to and rely upon the merits, the mercy, and the grace of the Holy Messiah. Repentance is the sweet fruit that comes from faith in the Savior and involves turning toward God and away from sin." Number two, follower of Jesus Christ. Following Christ is not a casual or occasional practice, but a continuous commitment and the way of life that applies at all times and in all places. This is a quote from Dallin H. Oaks. From Quentin L. Cook, we hear, "When we follow the Savior of the world, the Son of God, we flourish and become glorious despite the many terrible circumstances that surround us." And a former president of the church, Howard W. Hunter, said, quote, "Let us follow the Son of God in all ways and in all walks of life. Let us make him our exemplar and our guide. We are at a time in the history of the world when we must think more of holy things and act more like the Savior would expect his disciples to act. We should at every opportunity ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? And then act more courageously upon the answer. We must be about his work as he was about his Father's. We should make every effort to become like Christ, the one perfect and sinless example this world has ever seen." Elder Walter F. Gonzalez spoke a message in 2011 where he was referring to being followers of Christ. He said, "The Savior has promised, quote, 'He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life,' close quote. Followers of Christ pattern their lives after the Savior to walk in the light. Two characteristics can help us recognize to what extent we follow him. First, followers of Christ are loving people. Second, followers of Christ make and keep covenants. Truly loving Christ provides the required strength to follow him. Love is a powerful influence in our hearts and in our effort to be obedient. Love for our Savior inspires us to keep commandments. Love for a mother, father, or spouse can also inspire our obedience to gospel principles. The way we treat others reflects to what extent we follow our Savior in loving one another. We show our love for him when we stop to assist others, when we are perfectly honest and upright in all things, and when we make and keep covenants." Elder Gonzalez, in his concluding remarks, said, quote, "I testify that we are happier when we follow the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we strive to follow him, the blessings of heaven will come unto us. I know his promises will be fulfilled as we make and keep covenants and become true followers of Christ. I testify of his great love for each of us." Elder Robert D. Hales, another member of the Quorum of the Twelve in the past, stated, "What does it mean to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ? A disciple is one who has been baptized and is willing to take upon him or her the name of the Savior and follow him. A disciple strives to become as he is by keeping his commandments in mortality, much the same as an apprentice seeks to become like his or her master. Many people hear the word disciple and think it means only follower. But genuine discipleship is a state of being. This suggests more than studying and applying a list of individual attributes. Disciples live so that the characteristics of Christ are woven into the fiber of their beings, as into a spiritual tapestry. Our third item is family, our number one priority after God. So what should our priorities be regarding our family? We can look to the scriptures and find general principles for prioritizing our family relationships. God obviously comes first. In Deuteronomy, we read, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." All of one's heart, soul, and strength is to be committed to loving God, making him the first priority. If you're married, your spouse comes next. A married man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Christ's first priority after obeying and glorifying the Father was the church. Here is an example a husband should follow: God first, then his wife. And in the same way, wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. The principle is that a woman's husband is second only to God in her priorities. If husbands and wives are second only to God in our priorities, and since a husband and wife are one flesh, as we read in Ephesians, it stands to reason that the result of the marriage relationship, children, should be the next priority. Parents are to raise godly children who will be the next generation of those who love the Lord with all their hearts, showing once again that God comes first. All other family relationships should reflect that. Deuteronomy 5:16 tells us to honor our parents so that we may live long and so things will go well with us. No age limit is specified, which leads us to believe that as long as our parents are alive, we should honor them. Of course, once a child reaches adulthood, he is no longer obligated to obey them. Children, obey your parents. But there is no age limit to honoring them. We can conclude from this that parents are next in the list of priorities after God, our spouses, and our children. And after parents comes the rest of one's family. If we build our families around gospel principles, including faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome fun, home can be a place of refuge, peace, and immense joy. Number four, fidelity to one's spouse. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Elder Ezra Taft Benson stated, "Marriage itself must be regarded as a sacred covenant before God. A married couple have an obligation not only to each other, but to God. A married couple have an obligation, as he has promised blessings to those who honor that covenant." Quote, "Fidelity to one's marriage vows is absolutely essential for love, trust, and peace. Adultery is unequivocally condemned by the Lord," close quote. President Thomas S. Monson, in a general conference talk in 1990, stated, quote, "Because sexual intimacy is so sacred, the Lord requires self-control and purity before marriage, as well as full fidelity after marriage. Tears inevitably follow transgression. Men take care not to make women weep, for God counts their tears." Another president of the church, Gordon B. Hinckley, in April of 1976, stated, "Was there ever adultery without dishonesty? In the vernacular, the evil is described as cheating. And cheating it is, for it robs virtue, it robs loyalty, it robs sacred promises, it robs self-respect, it robs truth. It involves deception, It is personal dishonesty of the worst kind, or it becomes a betrayal of the most sacred of human relationships, a denial of covenants and promises entered into before God and man. It is the sordid violation of a trust. It is a selfish casting aside the law of God, and like other forms of dishonesty, its fruits are sorrow, bitterness, heartbroken companions, and betrayed children. Fidelity to one's spouse. Number five, fruitful. The family, a proclamation to the world, we read, quote, the first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve pertained to their potential for parenthood as husband and wife. We declare that God's commandment for his children to multiply and replenish the earth remains in force. Member of the first presidency in the past, President James E. Faust, stated, shift in attitude about the purpose of marriage. More and more young people view marriage as a couple's relationship designed to fulfill the emotional needs of adults rather than an institution for bringing up children. Another disturbing challenge to the family, observed President Faust, is, quote, is that children are becoming less valued. In many parts of the world, people are having fewer children. Abortion is probably the clearest sign that couples do not want children. An estimated one quarter of all pregnancies worldwide end by induced abortion. This is a devastating practice. Abortion is a two-edged sword. Not only does it encourage selfishness and the promiscuous use of the powers of procreation, this widespread practice often makes adoption more difficult for married couples who are unable to bear children of their own. In 1991, the first presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints issued a comprehensive statement on abortion. While recognizing certain, quote, rare cases in which abortion may be justified, close quote, they emphasized that, quote, these are not automatic reasons for abortion, and counseled people everywhere to turn from the devastating practice of abortion for personal or social convenience. Bringing children into the world is certainly not convenient. Most often it involves physical pain, followed by great sacrifice and selflessness. But the blessings of keeping God's command to rear children are some of the sweetest blessings he offers. Indeed, in many ways, parenthood gives us a foretaste of godhood. Now, in another sense, I would ask, are you productive or fruitful? We're living in a culture that measures the value of the value of the human person by degrees of success and productivity. Do we dare to look at weaknesses as an opportunity to become fruitful? Fruitfulness is the spiritual life. In the spiritual life is about love, and his fruitfulness is very different from success or productivity. Productivity is very task-oriented. The goal of most productivity books and articles is to get more done and make more money. By adapting these productivity tools for use in the home, then the goal is to get things done quickly so more time can be spent with the family. Fruitful is relational. It's not necessarily about getting more done, but getting things done more efficiently. Number six of our 15 is friends. You've heard the phrase BFFs, best friends forever. Well, friends have a strong influence on our actions, especially in our youth. They will influence how you think and act, and even help determine the person you will become. And when you choose good friends, they will be a great strength and blessing to you. They will help you be a better person and will make it easier for you to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elaine S. Dalton, a young women's general president of the church, teaches the importance of seeking and being a good friend. Quote, seeking another person's highest good is the essence of true friendship. Building friendships on these principles will help you form lasting relationships and social skills that go beyond merely becoming friends on social networking sites. As a parent, you can help your children understand the importance of being a good friend and of choosing friends who will encourage them to live the gospel. What are the benefits of friendship? Good friends are good for your health. Think about that. Friends can help you celebrate good times and provide support during bad times. Friends prevent loneliness and give you a chance to offer needed companionship too. Friends can also increase your sense of belonging and purpose, boost your happiness and reduce your stress, improve your self-confidence and self-worth, help you cope with traumas such as divorce, serious illness, job loss, or the death of a loved one, encourage you to change or avoid unhealthy lifestyle habits, such as addictive behavior, the use of addictive substances, or lack of exercise. Older adults living alone need to reach out to friends for companionship, support, and human contact. Casual friendships can help, but one very close friend can do so much to help relieve stress and depression. Close friends provide emotional support as friends comfort, help, share, and inform each other. Number 7, forgiveness of others and ourselves. To forgive is a divine attribute. It is to pardon or excuse someone from blame for an offense or misdeed. The scriptures refer to forgiveness in two ways. The Lord commands us to repent of our sins and seek his forgiveness. He also commands us to forgive those who offend or hurt us. Seeking forgiveness from the Lord. Sin is a heavy burden. It brings the tenseness of guilt and the anguish of knowing that we have acted against the will of our Father in heaven. It brings lingering remorse as we realize that because of our actions, we may have hurt others and prevented ourselves from receiving blessings our Father in heaven has been ready to give us. Because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can receive forgiveness for our sins through sincere and complete repentance. Sinfulness brings suffering and pain, but the Lord's forgiveness brings relief, comfort, and joy. Forgiving others. In addition to seeking forgiveness for our own sins, we must be willing to forgive others. The Lord said, quote, "Ye ought to forgive one another, for he that forgiveth not his brother his trespasses standeth condemned before the Lord, for there remaineth in him the greater sin. I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive, but of you it is required to forgive all men." In the everyday circumstances of life, we will surely be wronged by other people, sometimes innocently and sometimes intentionally by other people. It is easy to become bitter or angry or vengeful in such situations. But this is not the Lord's way. The Savior counseled, quote, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That's found in Matthew 5:44. Number 8, fairness. Treat others as you wish to be treated. The golden rule. Fairness is man's ability to rise above his prejudices. Blessed are the peacemakers, a message delivered by Russell L. Nelson, a quorum of the 12 apostles and now serving as the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In a general conference message in October of 2002, stated the following, quote, "Jesus taught the golden rule, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This principle is found in nearly every major religion. Others such as Confucius and Aristotle have also taught it. The golden rule encompasses the moral code of the kingdom of God. It forbids interference by one with the rights of another. It is equally binding upon nations, associations, and individuals. With compassion and forbearance, it replaces the retaliatory reactions of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This concept of treating others as one would like to be treated is easy to understand, and it acknowledges the precious nature of each of God's sons and daughters. Scripture asks parents to teach children not to fight and quarrel one with another and serve the Lord. Scripture asks parents to teach children not to fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, who is the master of sin. Instead, we, quote, teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Number 9, faithful. Being faithful means being honest, dependable, remaining loyal, and staying steadfast. Being faithful will inspire you to be true to yourself and towards others. It is one of the most important qualities you can have. It is one of the traits that people value in relationships, whether romantic, friendship, or business. Staying true and sticking by the people and things you care about is the best thing you can do for yourself and those who matter to you. By being faithful, it shows that we value our relationships and that we want them to last for a long time. Number 10, feelings. Emotional well-being and sensitivity. Our feelings or emotional well-being are an important part of holistic wellness, as it can impact your outlook on life, your relationships, and your health. Emotional well-being is the ability to produce positive emotions, moods, thoughts, and feelings, and adapt when confronted with adversity and stressful situations. One of its foundations is resilience, which allows you to navigate challenging life events. Think of resilience like a muscle. It flexes and develops the more you use it. Resilience impacts how you face challenges and how you think about the challenges you face. Sensitivity is wrongly depicted as an undesirable trait, while nonchalance is mistaken for a sign of strength. While nonchalance is mistaken for a sign of strength, it is important to recognize your sensitivity and find ways to make it work for you rather than against you. It's not inherently bad to be sensitive. Number 11, fearless courage. Overcoming fear by being fearless or having courage in the face of adversity is so liberating. Fear is an emotion everyone experiences. We feel it when we think we're in the presence of or doing something that might cause us pain or injury, physically, financially, or whatever. It's what secures us from dangerous things. But sometimes fear can stop us from doing great things. For example, fear of failure often holds people back from achieving success in life, whether it be in relationships, financial, or overcoming behavior that is holding one back. Aristotle said, since man is a rational animal, human happiness depends on the exercise of his reason. Happiness depends on acquiring a moral character, where one displays the virtues of courage, generosity, justice, friendship, and citizenship in one's life. These virtues involve striking a balance or mean between an excess and a deficiency. Number 12, focus, having clear vision of one's goals. Goal setting is important because it builds self-confidence and helps us to increase productivity by being focused on clear objectives. Having a clear, compelling goal mobilizes your focus toward actionable behavior. Goals guide your focus. Goal setting helps you align focus with behavior because you get feedback on your progress. Number 13, financial freedom. The goal of being debt-free. By avoiding debt, we eliminate so much stress in our lives. Always remember, quote, get into the habit of asking yourself, does this support the lifestyle I'm trying to create? Robert D. Hales of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles says, quote, I urge you to be modest in your expenditures. Discipline yourselves in your purchases to avoid debt to the extent possible. Pay off debt as quickly as you can, and free yourselves from bondage. When we live providently, we can provide for ourselves and our families and also follow the Savior's example to serve and bless others. 14. Fitness. Exercising physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual abilities is required to not only maintain but also improve these abilities. Without exercise, these abilities diminish. Furthermore, fitness in one area can strongly influence fitness in another area. For example, improving physical fitness enhances mental, emotional, and even spiritual acuity. 15. Fun, festive. Make time with your family enjoyable, whether it's a date night with your spouse, family home evening, outings in nature, sporting events, wholesome entertainment, including movies, plays, concerts, etc., family vacations. Always strive to have fun with your family. Good humor truly is medicine to the soul. Humor can ease tension, relieve uncomfortable or embarrassing situations, change attitudes, generate love and understanding, and add sparkle to life. Properly developed sense of humor is sensitive to others' feelings and is flavored with kindness and understanding. As I conclude, I'm mindful that our wise and loving Father in heaven is concerned for the welfare of his children. He desires to see us happy. The very purpose of our lives can be defined in terms of happiness. Prophet Joseph Smith said, quote, "Happiness is the object and design of our existence and will be the end thereof if we pursue the path that leads to it," close quote. So I ask you, are we having fun yet? Experiencing true happiness? I can testify that I certainly am. I find great joy in life, in obeying and serving. I pray that you may also discover the elusive treasure of true happiness through the means that were ordained by our Father in heaven. And I would love to share this with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.